I want you to look again tonight and notice specifically verse 5 of this text, where we see a very familiar picture from the Song of Solomon. He says, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree, there thy mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth that bare thee." Most everybody here tonight is well aware that the Book of Solomon contains four major characters. There is the bride, there is the groom, there's the bridegroom's friends, and there are the bride's friends. And of course, as an Old Testament picture of 2 Corinthians 11, Ephesians chapter 5, the Song of Solomon illustrates a number of New Testament truths in a very unique, powerful, beautiful way. In this case, the bride of Christ, for my understanding, and her groom are traveling out of the wilderness. And this journey from the wilderness to the king's palace is not without its challenges and all of its obstacles. Any pilgrimage through any wilderness would call for perseverance and patience. And so it is that the bride in our text is presented as coming up from the wilderness with the use of a singular verb, and one that I want us to consider and think about for a long time. The Bible says that she is leaning. She is leaning upon her beloved. You know, twice in the Gospels, the Father speaks audibly from heaven. And on both of those occasions, he refers to Christ Jesus as, quote, his beloved Son. Later in John's Gospel, it is that same apostle who is, in fact, leaning upon this beloved Son of God. It's a reminder that just as in the Song of Solomon, the king is also a shepherd, that Christ, who is God, also became flesh. He became a man. And as he journeys with us through the wilderness of this world, we too should be seen by others around us as the bride of Christ, leaning necessarily and wisely, leaning upon our beloved. You young people are going off to college in a few days. I have a burden, and I've been heavily burdened by it for a couple of weeks now, in as much as you've been in my Sunday school class for a long time. And I am burdened as I've seen those who have sat in those same seats through the years go off to some university or some college, even a Bible college in many instances. And you begin to lean upon academia. You begin to lean upon the teachings or the personality of some very charismatic professor. And instead of leaning upon the Lord that you've been leaning on for 17, 18 years, you lean on the wrong thing. And in that wilderness out there, it is utterly destructive. Some things I want us to consider tonight from the Song of Solomon, and specifically with reference to the bride who is traveling from the wilderness while leaning upon her beloved. But the first thing you'll notice, number one, is a lesson of dependence. It's a lesson, if you will, of trust. You see, the picture in this text, again, is that of a young bride. I see it many, many times when I do weddings, and it's a beautiful picture. You see it at the end of the reception of the ceremony, and later on in the night, you see that young bride leaning on her beloved. And in this case, she is traveling, she is walking, journeying, and all the while, she is leaning on her beloved. It's an unmistakable picture of genuine dependence. To lean requires one person to take their own weight and somewhat place it or throw it upon another. It's the simplest form of trust. And you know what? It is a wonderful reminder tonight that if it is the wisdom of God that you're leaning on now, that it should be the wisdom of God that you're leaning on a year from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now. And as a reminder that it is the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man that is worthy of our plans and our hopes and our dreams and our desires. We live in a world today that's truly adrift. It's always been that way, of course. But maybe with all of man's so-called advancements and education and technology and his pride and his enlightenment, Perhaps after generations of man's self-reliance yielding so much bitter fruit in this world, maybe, young people, you can get a little better glimpse. You see a little more clear, so evident that it's a foolish thing. This world is filled. It's a wilderness, as we all know, and it's a wilderness that's filled with people that are bitter themselves. I have an app from Dunkin' Donuts. It's really super convenient. How many of you have it? Anybody here have it? Oh, it's amazing. I leave my house, and I hit a couple, just boom, boom, boom. I know right where to do it on the highway, and I get there at Dunkin' Donuts. I do it at stoplights. Don't worry. It's not while I'm driving. And the coffee, exactly the way I like it, with the creams and the sugar, is ready when I get there. It's made exactly how I want. It's already been paid for, already debited, and it's 100% free. There's only one problem. When I get there, there's always this long line of grouchy, impatient people. And I sashay right past them all. And they all watch and judge. And I get my coffee, and usually the girl up here, the Chevron Duncan, she says, "Hi, Jim," and she hands it to me, and I see these people and their glares, and I feel their envy. It's like fast pass envy, you know? I just go right past them all. Except these people haven't had their coffee. And I remember at first, you know, I felt lots of guilt. I'd walk in there, and I felt, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry. You have to wait another 20 minutes and still order and still pull out your wallet and still pay, and I just got mine, and I'm out of here. But now I'm like, I don't feel guilt. I'm like, it's America, folks. The app is free. Get it yourself. Quit giving me the look. But one time I went in there, it wasn't too long ago, and I was in line, or they were all in line, and I went up and I got my coffee, and I started to walk out, and one of the people in the line goes, "Well, hello, Pastor." And even one of you were trying to make me feel guilty. It's a tough world. It's a wilderness for a child of the living God in this changing and drifting and darkened world. I ask you and I remind you tonight in this question, what and who are you leaning upon? Because you're leaning on someone. And some of you young people are going to get off to school and you're going to be told that you don't let to lean on anyone. That your professor's not. They are leaning on someone. Most of them are leaning on Marx or some other fool. But everybody's leaning on someone. You know, we sing a wonderful hymn based on Deuteronomy 33:27. That text says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And the hymn says, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms." You see, folks, just like the Shunammite woman, we don't know precisely what the pathway holds. We don't know. We don't know exactly where the road is leading. I don't know. You think about how much my family's life has changed in 1 year. We didn't know, and you don't know. We don't know where our steps will lead tomorrow. But you know something? The bridegroom does. The shepherd king does. Proverbs 3:5, you all know it by heart. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." In other words, leaning isn't necessarily a good thing unless you're leaning on the right person. Unless you're leaning on the right things. Someone once said, I think it was Vance Havner, said, "You cannot break God's promises by leaning on them," and it's so true. But you can easily break the promises of man by leaning on those. I've been listening and reading some of these Antifa protesters. And they just come around constantly. They're at Berkeley. Remember years ago they were at Wall Street. And they're the same characters. They just change faces, and they're all about the same age. So this generation does it, and then they go off, and they grow a gray ponytail, and they teach in the university you're about to go to. But then another group of young people take their place. And it's fascinating to me because I realize that they all have one thing in common.
Listen to them. You'll find this. The one thing that all of these 20, 25, 30-year-old people have in common is that they were all promised something. And they didn't get it. They were promised that if they got a college degree, they'd make $300,000 a year, or they were promised world peace, or they were promised racial harmony by the post-racial president for 8 long years. They were promised this and promised that, and they're bitter, and they're disappointed, and they're angry, and they put their masks on, and they throw their little rocks and so forth. They were promised hope and change. They were promised free health care and fairness by distributing and redistributing people's wealth. And they were disappointed. And they're bitter and they're angry. You say, well, Pastor, if you're wondering out there, Pastor, if we were all promised that, all of us in America, then why aren't we all protesting? And the answer is very simple. Not all of us were leaning on their promises. Amen? Never leaned on them. Hearing or reading or watching promises, which I've done all my life from politicians, and the phone calls have already started. Have they started for you at your home? Leaning on those promises, hearing those promises, that's two different things. I'm reminded of a great text in 2 Kings 18. He says, "Now behold, thou trusteth upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him." Wait a minute. He was a powerful man. He was a wealthy man. He was the guy who had all the belt. He could do anything and everything. Why wouldn't you want to lean on him? Because you're leaning on the wrong thing. I remember years ago when Jesse Ventura, he was actually the governor of Minnesota. And when he was running, he said that religion is a crutch for weak-minded people. And I remember how people were outraged? And I mentioned it in many sermons back then, and how foolish it was. And I listed all the people who were not weak-minded throughout history. But people were outraged. But then I thought, you know, actually religion for many people is a crutch. But Christ is not a religion, amen? The Lord Jesus is a person, the Savior, the wonderful Counselor, the Captain of my salvation, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And yes, guess what? I do lean on Him. And I lean on Him as the author and the finisher of my faith, not nearly as much as I should. Leaning on the Beloved. It's a message of dependence, number two. And I want you to hear this one very carefully. Because there's a danger in fundamental churches like this one, in all good, strong, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, fundamental believers have this tendency and this danger. The second thing is a message of devotion. Look at verse 5. "Who is he that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Again, you get the picture here, do you not? The bride, it says, is leaning upon her beloved. So that this isn't a metaphor for ritual, beloved, or tradition, or dead orthodoxy, or orthopraxy. This is not religion. This is a relationship. God gave us this book for a reason as an illustration. It is a relationship that includes precious memories about the past. Verse 5 again, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth, and she brought thee forth that bare thee." You see, folks, that is a recollection of the beginnings of a life and a love that was found in the shadow, he says, of the apple tree back in chapter 2. Look at it. Go back to chapter 2, would you? Verse 1. "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." In other words, listen, folks, we're not called to lean upon the Lord Jesus just for protection, just for wisdom and favor, just so that our business might prosper. No. It's not always about us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him. We love him
because he first loved us. And by the way, do you know why? Do you know what the shepherd king did to show that great love for his bride? It says in our text, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? The wilderness? Yes, beloved, the wilderness. Without Christ, we were in the wilderness, aimless and fruitless and hopeless. In fact, exactly what we read all this morning in today's text on trophies of grace. The description is, among whom, I'm reading from Ephesians, our text this morning, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And so it goes. Again, beloved, let's face it, without Christ, we're all stuck in the wilderness. I remember some time ago, and I don't know if Rick will remember this, I was taking him to the airport to go to California. On the way down, we noticed a couple of policemen on the PG overpass looking over and then down onto I-95. They were standing on it looking down, and I didn't think much of it, but then as I was coming back to Jupiter, I noticed the same spot had several emergency vehicles and all of these emergency workers and police standing against the median, and there in the road was a man's body covered with a tarp. And I immediately thought to myself, I thought, that is some mother's son, somebody's schoolmate, perhaps a brother, a husband, a veteran, and more importantly, hopefully a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in passing it and just thinking about that, I began to weep, and I thought, but by the grace of God, it could be me or somebody that I love or somebody that you love. And God spoke to me all through that day that but for God's grace and the mercy of his beloved Son, all of us in this room would be wandering and lost and in this wilderness of what Paul calls the children of wrath. That was me. And that was you. That's why we sing, and I mentioned this morning, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The Bible says, and such. When he goes on to describe all of these horrid and terrible conditions of the human spirit, he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6:11. See, now you see why the bride is leaning on her beloved. This is the love. And this is the mercy of God. We mentioned earlier one of the stanzas to the hymn referring to how bright the path grows from day to day, right? And it did, and it does. Lean on him for guidance. But the other stanza says this. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It's fellowship, yes. You know, understand, if you're going to lean on someone, that picture, you're going to be close to that person. And the Lord Jesus did not lead us out of this wilderness just to win and redeem, you know, our minds. He led us. He reconciled us. He redeemed us so that he would redeem our hearts unto himself as well. Set me, he says, as a seal upon thine heart, she says. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared unto me saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That is God's language. That is God speaking to you. Titus 3 and verse 4 says, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, whereby according to his mercy he saved us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, the only reason he brought you and me out of the wilderness and is leading us to the king's palace is because he commended his love toward us.
And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
There was nothing good about us in the wilderness. Nothing good about you, nothing good about me out there. It is no wonder that the bride is leaning upon her beloved. She loves him because she knows what he did.
She loves him because she now knows him. It's a message of dependence and devotion. Finally, number three, you'll notice it's also a message of deliverance.
Go back again to our text. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. Thine arm? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the seal is referring to in this text? It is a reference to the ancient equivalent of a wedding band. It's a seal of love. It's a seal of marriage, a signet either worn around the neck and thus over the heart or on the hand of the groom's arm. And of course, beloved, by expressing this desire while leaning upon that very arm, the bride is saying, I not only trust the shepherd king, I not only love the shepherd king, but I also belong to the shepherd king. I am his and he is mine. And you know something? That's freedom. That's deliverance from this wilderness and this world of bondage, because you know whose you are and whom you are. What have I to dread? What have I to fear leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. We sing these hymns, we don't think about the words. Blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Obviously, one of the most important words in the text, in this text, in verse 5, is the word go. The word up. Who is this, he says, look at it, that cometh up from the wilderness? It is always the direction for a child of God who follows and serves his Lord and Master. The Christian life, beloved, is always an ascent. Yes, there is a seal. And it shows the relationship is settled. And the Bible says to grow in grace, not into grace. But this growth, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. It is wonderful to know that in this declining society, there's still higher ground. There is higher ground that our Lord would lead us to every day. That's the freedom of serving Jesus Christ, our beloved. You know, when you ask a little boy how old he says, I'm 5 going on 6, I'm 8 going on 9, I'm 11 going on 12, right? He's always longing and looking to a higher level, and that ought to be the spirit of a child of God. Where are you with the Lord? I'm here, but I want to be here. I'm here, but I'm going here. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Who is this? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And you know what, folks? That is the question that ought to be in people's minds as they look at you. You're part of the bride of Christ. As they look at you and you grow in grace, why are you leaning on him? Why do you want your whole family to lean on him? I'm leaning on him as he takes me up and out of this wilderness one day. Because I trust him, because I love him, because I serve him. Dependence and faith, devotion, familiarity, deliverance and freedom. How about tonight? You and I rededicate ourselves to leaning on our beloved, depending upon him, trusting him, being devoted to him, being delivered by him. And you young people in this room, when you get away from this place and go to some other place and you sit at the feet of someone, maybe doesn't believe this book or believe it as well as you do even. Lean on your Lord. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in academia, there's nothing in the business world out there that's worthy of your trust. It'll pierce your hand like the staff of Egypt. Father, we are grateful for the beauty of the illustration of this great book. And I pray, Father, that maybe we'll understand a little better tonight the power of this singular verb, to lean. Help us to lean upon our beloved, not upon our own understanding and not on that of others.
And to that end, Father, may our lives glorify you as we walk through this wilderness up and out into the eternal sunshine and kingdom of God. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.